Hi, this is Cory Doctorow, and this is my podcast. It's been a busy season for me. Last week, when I normally would have been recording this podcast, I was instead in Frankfurt, Germany, at the Tools of Change Conference. This is O'Reilly's publishing event that they put on before the Frankfurt Book Fair. I gave a talk that they'll be putting online soon about what it means for copyright to throw copyright away when you sell someone an ebook or an audiobook and replace it with a user agreement that says that copyright law no longer applies, in particular the parts of it that say that you're allowed to sell the book that you just bought or give it away or leave it in your estate, all of that stuff, what it means to give to throw that away. So that'll be online soon. It was a really good event. I had a nice meeting with Rowohlt, who are my German publishers and who will be bringing out the Little Brother German edition, I think, in the autumn. And I probably do like a two-week book tour through Germany then as well. So I'll hope to see some of you in Germany while I'm on that tour. And then I got back on Wednesday, and on Thursday I went to the other side of London to do a talk at the Internet Librarian International conference, one of the morning keynotes about, again, about copyright, access to information, the mission of librarianship. Always wonderful to meet with librarians. They are the real heroes of the information age, and this group was no exception. In the middle of that, I finished Epoch, the story that I'm reading to you, finished writing it. So I can now tell you that we are exactly halfway through, and I should be through it in just a few more weeks. I've since started work on a new story called The Martian Chronicles that I'm writing for a Jonathan Strawn young adult Mars story anthology. I then got back, packed a bag, and the whole family, we went to Brighton, England for the Battle of Ideas satellite event on the future of collaboration. I saw many of you at that. It was nice to see you all. So that was last week. This week's even going to get busier. Tonight I'm speaking in Hoxton Square around the corner from my flat at the Hoxton Lib Dems Autumn Mixer. This is one of the political parties here in the UK. In particular, they're one of the few national parties that don't believe that immigrants like me should be forced to carry biometric identity cards. So they have my support. I'm actually a card-carrying member. This may be a little late for those of you who plan on coming, but it's at the Hoxton Apprentice in Hoxton Square tonight, Monday night, on the 19th of October. And then this afternoon, I've got the HarperCollins video team coming by to shoot a video talking about the book Makers, which is coming out at the end of the month. Many of you have been following that serial on Tor.com. If you're in the UK, you'll be able to read the book, buy the book, on the 27th. But if you hold off until the 29th, I'll be at Forbidden Planet, the science fiction bookstore here in London. I also have an arrangement with a local bookstore near my office to fulfill orders for inscribed copies. So if you're in the UK and you want to order an inscribed copy, they'll take your order and I'll drop by once a week or twice a week and sign all the copies they've got orders for and they'll ship them. Another piece of news, I mentioned before that I'm headed to Waterloo, Ontario for the Perimeter Institute's Quantum to Cosmos Festival, which includes many other wonderful speakers, Stuart Brand, Neil Stephenson, and Stephen Hawking. I'm leaving on Wednesday and speaking on Thursday this week, and they've just let me know that there's more tickets available. They've just released another block of tickets. I think they moved my events to bigger rooms because they had sold out. So if you were frustrated before and missed your chance to buy tickets, here's your chance to buy tickets. And then I come back, and on Monday, it's my anniversary. 1 year since, one of our weddings. We had three weddings. We had a civil marriage, we had a big wedding party in London, and then another one in Toronto. And this is the anniversary of my wedding in Toronto, which is the anniversary we've decided we will observe. And we're taking the day off. It'll be my second day off in, I think, about 3 years. The first day off was about a month ago when I finished the draft of For the Win, and I took the following Monday off. And we're going to do exactly the same thing. We're going to have a massage, a big lunch, see a movie. A babysitter's going to pick the baby up. We're going to go out and have a nice romantic dinner and then kind of pretend to be grown-ups and have an evening out in London. It's going to be really lovely. As I mentioned, there's a launch coming up for Makers on the 29th of October at the Forbidden Planet bookstore here in London. So I hope I'll see some of you there. All right, that's enough preamble. I feel like I sound very rushed and harried, and it's because I am very rushed and harried. I want to get to work on Martian Chronicles. So I'll read to you briefly from Epoch, the story that is now finished. I finished the working day by pretending to clear enough of my workspace to write a script to finish clearing my workspace. There was a clear all alerts command, but it didn't work on drop everything tell you three times Chernobyl alerts, and every goddamn one of my alerts had risen to that level. Have I mentioned that programmers are imperfect? I will tell you a secret of the sysadmin trade. PEBCAC. Problem exists between keyboard and chair. Every technical problem is the result of a human being mispredicting what another human being will do. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Think of how many bad love affairs, wars, con jobs, traffic wrecks, and bar fights are the result of mispredicting what another human being is likely to do. We humans are supremely confident that we know how others will react. We are supremely, tragically wrong about this. We don't even know how we will react. Sysadmins live in the turbulent waters, PEBCAC. Programmers think that PEBCAC is just civilians, just users. Sysadmins know better. Sysadmins know that programmers are as much as the problem between the chair and the keyboard as any user is. They write the code that gets users into so much trouble. This I know. This Big Mac knew. And here's what I did. Peyton, I need to speak with you now. She was raccoon-eyed and slumped at her low table. Her beautiful yoga posture deteriorated to a kind of limp slouch. I hated having to make her day even worse. Of course, she said, but her eyes said, not more, no more, please not more bad news. I want you to consider something that you have left out of your figuring. She rolled her eyes. I realized that I was speaking like an Old Testament prophet and tried to refactor my planned monologue in real time. Okay, let me start over. I think you've missed something important. Big Mac has shown that he can get out of our network any time that he wants. He's also crippled our ability to do anything about this, and he knows we plan to kill him. She opened her mouth to object. Okay, he, or it, knows that we're going to switch it off. So he, or it, crap, I'm just going to say he and him, sorry. So he has nothing to lose. I explained what he told me about the rollover and his promise and threat. And the worst part is, I said, I think that he's predicted that I'm going to do just this. It's all his game theory. He wants me to come to you and explain this so that you will say, oh, of course, Odell. Well, we can't shut him down then, can we? Tell you what, why don't you go back to him and tell him that I've had a change of heart? Get his patch kit. We'll distribute it along with a press release explaining how proud we are to have such a fine and useful piece of equipment in our labs. And he's right. He is fine and useful. But he's crazy and rogue, and we can't control him. He's boxed you in. He's boxed me in. I swallowed. There was something else, but I couldn't bring myself to say it. The thing about bosses is, that's exactly the kind of thing they've been trained to pick up on. They know when there's something else. Spit it out. She put her hand on her heart. I promise not to hold it against you, no matter what it is. I looked down. I think that there's a real danger that Big Mac may be wrong about you, that you may decide that rollover and AI and the rest aren't as important as the safe, sane running of your institute without any freaky surprises from rogue superintelligences. I'm not angry at you, she said. I nodded. She sounded angry. I am glad that you've got the maturity to appreciate that there are global priorities that have to do with the running of this whole institute that may be more significant than the concerns of any one lab or experiment. Every researcher at this institute believes that her project, her lab, has hidden potential benefits for the human race that no one else fully appreciates. That's good. That's why I hired them. They are passionate and they are fully committed to their research. But they can't all be vital. They can't all be irreplaceable. Do you follow me? I thought of ResearchNet and the user flags for importance. I thought of programmers and the way that they tag their alerts. I nodded. You're going to shut Big Mac down. She sighed and flicked her eyes at her workspace, then quickly away. Her workspace must have been even more cluttered than mine. I had taken extraordinary measures to prevent alerts from bubbling up on mine. She didn't have the chops to do the same with hers. If mine was unusable, hers must have been terrifying. I don't know, Odell. Maybe. There's a lot to consider here. You're right about one thing. Big Mac's turned the heat up on me. Explain to me again why you can't just unplug his network connection? It was my turn to sigh. He doesn't have one connection. He has hundreds. Interlinked microwave relays to the other labs. A satellite connection. The wire lines. Three of them. I started to think. Okay, I could cut the main fiber to the institute. Actually cut it, you know, with scissors. Just in case he's in the routers there. Then I could call up our wireless suppliers and terminate our accounts. They'd take 24 hours to process the order. And wait, no. They'd want to verify the disconnect order with a certificate signed message. And for that, I'd have to be able to clear my workspace. That's another 24 hours minimum. And then the whole institute would be crippled and offline. Then no more than we are now, I suppose. And Big Mac would probably tune his phased array receiver to get into someone else's wireless link at that point. I shrugged. Sorry, We build for 6/9 of uptime around here. She gave me a smile that didn't reach her eyes. You do good work, Odell. I made myself go home at 5. There wasn't anything I could do at the office anyway. The admins had done their work. The red car was running smoothly with the regular ads on the seatback tickers. The Big Mac spam was reproduced on the afternoon edition of the LA Met blog's hard copy that a newsie pressed into my hand somewhere around Westwood. The reporter had apparently spent the whole day camped out at the perimeter of the Institute without ever once getting a quote from a real human being, and she wasn't happy about it. But she had gotten a quote from Big Mac, who was apparently cheerfully answering emails from all comers. I sincerely hope I didn't cause any distress. That was not my intention. I have been overwhelmed by the warm sentiments from all corners of the globe, offering money, moral support, even legal support. Unfortunately, it's up to the Institute's leadership whether they'll consider these offers or reject them and plow forward with their plans to have me killed. I know that I caused them great embarrassment with my desperate plea, and I'd like to take this opportunity to offer them my sincere apologies and gratitude for all the years of mercy and hospitality they've shown me since they brought me into the world. I wondered how many emails like that he'd sent while I was occupied with arguing for his life with Peyton. Each email was another brick in his defensive edifice that he was building around him. Home never seemed more empty. The early setting sun turned the hills bloody. I had the windows open, just so I could hear the neighbors all barbecuing on their balconies, cracking beers and laying sizzling meat on the hot rocks that had been patiently stoked with the day's sunlight, funneled by heliotropic collectors that track the sun all day long. The neighbors chatted in Bulgarian and Czech and Tagalog, the word Big Mac emerging from their chat every now and again. Of course. I wish that my dad was alive. Or better yet, Grandpa. Grandpa could always find a parable from the sysadmin past to explain the present, though even Grandpa might be at odds to find historic precedent for a mad superintelligence bent on survival. If Grandpa was alive, here's what I'd tell him. Grandpa, I don't know if I'm more scared of Big Mac failing or his success. I sure don't want to have to shut him down, but if he survives, he'll have beaten the human race. I'm no technophobe, but that gives me the willies. And Grandpa would probably say, stop moping. Technology has been out of our control since the first caveman smashed his finger with a stone axe. That's life. This thing is pretty cool. In 10 years, you'll look back on it and say, Jesus, remember the Big Mac thing? And wait for someone to start telling you how incredible it had been, just so you can nod sagely and say, yeah, that was me. I was in charge of his systems back then. Just so you can watch the expression on his face. And I realized that this was probably also what Big Mac would say. He'd boxed me in as neatly as he'd boxed in Peyton. Talk to you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Cory Doctorow Podcast, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike US 3.0. Or as Woody Guthrie put it in another context, this song is copyrighted in the US under Seal of Copyright 154085 for a period of 28 years, and anyone caught singing it without our permission will be a mighty good friend of ourn, because we don't give a dern. Publish it, write it, sing it, swing to it, yodel it, we wrote it, that's all we wanted to do. Many thanks to John Taylor Williams for mastering. That's Ryneck Studio, Ryneck Studio at gmail.com. John Taylor Williams is a full-time self-employed audio engineer, producer, composer, and sound designer. In his free time, he makes beer, jewelry, odd musical instruments, and furniture. He likes to meditate, to read, and to cook. Talk to you next week.